ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 So now at the orange tab, we'll chant together the Sanskrit and then the English of all these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam deyam sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udiraye.
Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayana, unto Naranarayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author.
Vadanti tat tatvavidas tatvam yat jnanamadvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shatyate.
Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan.
Srimatam sataka krishna punya shravana kirtanaha nidyantasto hivadrani vidhinoti suritsatam.
Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted.
Nashta praeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati namashloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki.
By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome in the heart is completely destroyed. Loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact.
Tada rajastamo bhava kama lo bhadayashtaye cheta etaya nama vidhvam siddham sattve prasigati.
As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, completely happy.
Egam prasanna manaso bhagavad-bhakti yogataha bhagavad-tattva-vijnanam mukta-sangasya jayate.
Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidite hridaya kantish chityante sarva samshaya chiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare.
Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
Ete chan shakala kumsa drishtastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam hridayam yuge yuge.
All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord, but Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead.
All of them
appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists.
Idam bhagavatam nama puranam brahma samhitam uttama shloka charitam chikara bhagavan rishi nikshayasaya lokasya dhanyam svastyayanam mahat.
This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect.
Krishne sadhamo bhagate dharma jnana dipiksaha kalo nashta drishamesha purana arko nuditaha.
This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it is arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana.
Tasmin sva ashrame vyaso badari shandamandite asinopa upaspriśya pranidhatya manaksvayam.
In that place, Srila Vyasadeva, in his own ashrama, which was surrounded by berry trees, sat down to meditate after touching water for purification.
Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranite male apashyai purusham purnam mayam chattadapashrayam.
Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism, and thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. Yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam prapi manute nartam tatkrutam chapipatyate. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries.
Anarto pashamam sakshat bhakti yoga namochaje lokasya janato vidvang chakre sattva samhitam.
The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth.
Sutta uvacha atmaramascha munayo nirgranta apyurukrame kurvantrihaitutin bhaktin itanudarno hari.
All different varieties of atmaramas, those who take pleasure in atma or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed emotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls.
Ahameva sameva agre nanyat yat sarasatparam pascharaham yaretaccha yo vishishyeta sosmiham.
Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead.
Pratyatam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tad vidyadatmano mayam yatha bhaso yatha tamaha.
Whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. No, it is my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness.
Yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chevachashnu pratushtani vivishtani yatatheshu nateshvaham.
O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created and at the same time am outside of everything.
Ekavadeva jigyasyam tatvajigyasanatmakam anvaya vitirekabhyam yatyat sarvatra sarvada.
The person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, can certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time.
So, we'll start our Bhagavatam class reading. Text number 32.
And I want to get some, also today, because it is Govardhan Puja, I also want to read something about the pastime of Govardhan Hill. Well, of course, there will be tomorrow a program at the temple, and Pushya Krishna will be giving a class on Govardhan Puja, and they'll have a big Govardhan Hill. We'll celebrate Govardhan Puja tomorrow. But I heard from my wife that there will also be a small Govardhan Puja celebration today. Here, at 11 a.m. after Guru Puja, because today is after all Govardhan Puja, and then we'll go out and distribute lots and lots of books to worship Govardhan Hill in that way. Vaishya Singh has been sending us these wonderful letters from Govardhan where he's going on Parikram all the time. And you probably all saw the one where he described the appearance of Govardhan and then how Govardhan came to reside there in Braja, and how the sage Pulastya Muni wanted to carry him to Kashi, then cursed Govardhan that he would lose each day the size of a sesame seed, and that Govardhan was, at that time, Satya Yuga was 64 miles around, and now it's only 7 miles. And so it's getting smaller. But Govardhan will still exist throughout the Kali Yuga, portion of the Kali Yuga, after Krishna's departure. And as long as Govardhan Hill is still here, then the full effect of Kali Yuga won't be able to influence.
Yeah, so 10,000 years. So as long as Govardhana is here during that time, Kali Yuga doesn't fully manifest. So then when Govardhana Hill disappears, then Kali Yuga becomes very, very harsh. So we better be serious about this Krishna consciousness movement and get out now before Kali Yuga becomes so good. If this is only a little bit, let's get away.
That's what Vidura was saying one time to Dhritarashtra. One time after Kurukshetra War, Vidura had gone being insulted by Duryodhana before the war. Vidura had gone on pilgrimage and he heard from Maitreya Muni, as recounted in Srimad Bhagavatam. But in the first canto, there's a story of how he comes back after his pilgrimage, and Dhritarashtra is living there with the Pandavas, and Vidura tells him he should retire, take sannyas, go to the forest, and he speaks very strongly to him. And one of the things he says is, Kali Yuga is coming. You don't want to stay here in the material world. You better get your business done before Kali Yuga comes, a horrible time. So anyway, text number 32. Kechit Ahur Ajang Jatam Kechit Ahur Ajang Jatam
Kechit Ahur Ajang Jatam
Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye Yudo Priyasya Anbhavaye Yudo Priyasya Anbhavaye Malayasya Iva Chandanam Malayasyeva Chandanam
Malayasyeva Chandanam
Kechidahura Chanchatam Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye Yudo Priyasyan Vaya Yudo Priyasyan Vavaye Malayasyeva Chandanam Kechidahura Janjatam Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye Yadho Priyasyan Vraya Anbhavaye Malayasyeva Chandanam Kechidahura Janjatam Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye Yadho Priyasyan Vavaye Malayasyeva Chandanam Kechidahur Ajam Jatam Punya Slokasya Kirtaye Yadho Priyasyan Vavaye Malayasyeva Chandanam
Kechidahurajam jatam
Punyashlokasya kirtaye
Yadho
priyasyan bhavaye
Malayasyeva chandanam
Kechidahurajam jatam
श्लोकस्य कीर्तये
पुण्यश्लोकस्य कीर्तये
यतो प्रियस्यां भवाये
यतो प्रियस्यां भवाये
मलयस्येव चन्दनम्
मलयस्येव चन्दनम्
केचिद् अहुर् अजम् जातम्
केचिद् अहुर् अजम् जातम्
पुण्यश्लोकस्य कीर्तये
पुण्यश्लोकस्य कीर्तये
यतो प्रियस्यान्वये
यतो प्रियस्यान्वये
मलयस्येव
चन्दनम्
केचिदाहुर् अजम् जातम्
केचिदाहुर् अजम् जातम्
पुण्यश्लोकस्य कीर्तये
पुण्यश्लोकस्य कीर्तये
यतो हृदयस्य अन्वभाये
यतो प्रियस्य अन्वभाये
मलयस्येव चन्दनम्
मलयस्येव चन्दनम्
Anyone else? Keichit?
Keichit.
Someone. Ahu.
Ahu.
Says.
Ajam.
Ajam. The unborn.
The unborn.
Jatam.
Jatam.
Being born.
Being born.
Punyashlokasya.
Punyashlokasya.
Of the great pious king.
Of the great pious king.
Kirtaye.
Kirtaye.
For glorifying.
For glorifying.
Yadaho.
Yadaho.
Of King Yadu.
Of King Yadu.
Priyasya, of the deer, Anvavaye, in the family of, Malayasya, Malaya Hills, Eva, as, Chandanam, Sandalwood. What's the new baby's name?
Jayashree.
Jayashree, how do you go? Translation, some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings, and others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya Hills. Please repeat. Some say that the unborn, is born for the glorification of pious kings.
Is born for the glorification of pious kings.
The others say that he is born,
to
please King Yadu,
one of your dearest devotees.
You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya Hills. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because the Lord's appearance in this material world is bewildering, there are different opinions about the birth of the unborn. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he takes his birth in the material world, although he is the Lord of all creations and he is unborn. So there cannot be any denial of the birth of the unborn because he himself establishes the truth. But still there are different opinions as to why he takes his birth. That is also described in Bhagavad Gita. He appears by his own internal potency to re-establish the principles of religion and to protect the pious and to annihilate the impious. That is the mission of the appearance of the unborn. Still it is said that the Lord is there to glorify the pious King Yudhishthira. Lord Sri Krishna certainly wanted to establish the kingdom of the Pandavas for the good of all in the world. When there is a pious king ruling over the world, the people are happy. When the ruler is impious, the people are unhappy. In the age of Kali, in most cases the rulers are impious, and therefore the citizens are also continuously unhappy. But in the case of democracy, the impious citizens themselves elect their representative to rule over them, and therefore they cannot blame anyone for their unhappiness. Maharaj Nala was also celebrated as a great pious king, but he had no connection with Lord Krishna. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira is meant here to be glorified by Lord Krishna. The Lord had already glorified King Yadu, having taken birth in his family. Although he is known as Yadava, Yaduvira, Yadunandana, etc., he is always independent of such obligation. He is just like the sandalwood that grows in the Malaya Hills. Trees can grow anywhere and everywhere, yet because the sandalwood trees grow mostly in the area of the Malaya Hills, the name Sandalwood and the Malaya Hills are interrelated. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Lord is ever unborn like the sun,
And yet he appears as the sun rises on the eastern horizon. As the sun is never the sun of the eastern horizon, so the Lord is no one's son, but he is the father of everything that be. Om Jnana Kumaran Vasya Jnana Jnana Shalataya Satsurvanam Kandina Ismai Shri Gurudeva Shri Chaitanya Vanovishtam Sathitam Yeta Mutare Svayam Rupa Padamaya Vida Vande Hami Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Nuntai Shumata Shri Rupam Sarajatam Sahana Vakunatam Vipas Sujivam Sarvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhandita Shri Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhukale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Hidane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachyate Deshitarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dinamine Sri Varshadhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripathaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhupe Namaha Madhuryo Chola Premaja Shri Upanaka Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namaste Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dilatarine Rupanuna Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshat Vajadhyam Murtaye Vipratam Parasaham Bodhe Padadam Vujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Vrayate Gaurani Bhava Bhumesvam Nirdeshta Sarchana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Shri Jagannathaya Namaha Vancha Kukatururjasya Vibhasin Dupyadevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahārūdānyāya Krishna Prema Kṛdāyate Krishnāya Krishna Chaitanya Nāne Gora Krishe Namaha Panchatattvāpakam Krishnam Bhakta Rūpa Svarūpakam Bhakta Avatāram Bhaktākyam Namāmeva Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Pranāsiddho Dīnamandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopriyākānta Rādhākānta Namostute Jayatam Surato Panvur Mama Mandar Madhirgati Matsarvasya Parambhoja Radha Madana Mohana Jivya Dindar Nipalaka Pramadha Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanastav Srimad Radha Shira Govinda Devav Teshkali Vinse Vimana Osmanami Srimad Rasara Sarami Vamshi Vatata Stidha Karsham Venu Svaraya Govir Gopinata Shriyestunaha Tattrakanchana Taurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hanipriye Vrindayaya Tumisye Vyaya Piyaya Keshavasacha Krishna Bhakti Pradileve Satyavata Namo Namaha Shri Nishinha Jaya Nishinha Jaya Jaya Nishinha Prabhadesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Vringa Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. He didn't sing Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Vadadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana
Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings, and others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya Hills. So this this verse begins a series of verses where Queen Kunti is talking about the reason for the Lord's appearance and the mystery of the Lord's appearance. The Lord's appearance and activities are mysterious. Oh, excuse me.
The Lord's appearance and activities are mysterious because they're all transcendental. And yet, we're accustomed to perceive that anything that has appearance and activities, we perceive it in terms of material, temporary things. But the Lord appears, although he's unborn. So this is mysterious. It's a contradiction. How can he be unborn and also be born? How can he have no work and also work? How can he be far away and near? How can he be inside everything and outside everything? So, but he is. How can he be impartial to everyone and yet partial to his devotees? But he is. And one who understands and one who understands the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearances and activities, then upon leaving this body, they don't take birth again, but they attain to Krishna's own transcendental nature. So here, Kunti Devi is discussing the opinions of some people about why the unborn, Krishna, is born in the world. And some people say, quite rightly so, that he's born to glorify King Yudhishthira. He establishes... he killed so many demons. Actually, most of Krishna's activities, when you think about it, he's killing demons. Every day he's killing so many demons. And he killed Bakasura, Pralambasura, Denukasura, and Aghasura, Arishtasura, Shakatasura, Kamsa. We can go on and on, the list goes on and on. Putana, Trinivarta. And so he's killing all these demons. And he's subduing demons like Jarasandha with his devotees they're killing. And then he arranges this Kurukshetra war where all of the impious people are destroyed and also many great personalities. And he establishes the pious Pandavas to be the kings of the world. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, he appears to reestablish the principles of Dharma. And this is best done when the leaders are righteous persons. Here in the United States, they still seem to care in presidential elections that the president, the person elected as president, has to be a religious man, usually, which is something you cannot say for many secular European governments in which being a religious man is considered like you're uneducated or something. That's not really true. I mean, you know, in Italy they have the Christian Democratic Party. There are prominent parties that are Christian parties and things. I'm thinking of France mostly. But basically the principle of liberal democracy here, Srila Prabhupada is saying, gives them nobody to blame for their trouble, for their unhappiness. When you have a principle of Vedic monarchy, then the monarch, if the monarch is pious, the people will be happy. And if the monarch is impious, the people will not be happy. So Krishna established that the pious monarch, Yudhishthira, would rule over the world and his descendants, and that reestablished the principles of religion. So Krishna shows how he's reestablishing the principles of religion. But that But that contradiction is also there. Why does Krishna have this mission? Jai Haribol! Why does Krishna have this mission? Welcome back. To protect the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. Srila Prabhupada tells us that actually for annihilating the miscreants, Krishna has so many agents that could take care of that for him. He can send floods and tidal waves, demigods. He can send anything to kill any old demon. But he shows, when he comes and he performs his activities and shows how he favors his devotees, how he protects his devotees, he shows that affection. And the devotees recollect those pastimes again and again, his wonderful pastimes. And by just hearing about them or thinking about them or speaking about them, as we were reading earlier, all the misgivings, all the unwanted things, all the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance disappear from our hearts and we become established in pure sattva, pure existence, the substantive principle becomes established, and devotional service, the activity of that Vishuddha sattva becomes irrevocable in our hearts. But it's also bewildering. Why is he protecting the devotees? Why is he establishing righteousness? If he's God and he's completely independent and neutral, then you know why does he care about these things? But it's really that he reciprocates with everyone according to their tendency, according to their desire. So the atheistic persons, this world, this whole world is the world of forgetfulness of Krishna. And those who want to forget Krishna are allowed to be in this world of forgetfulness of Krishna. And those who are inimical to Krishna, the atheists, he reciprocates with them inimically. He reciprocates with them as their enemy, and he comes and destroys them. Where, Hare Krishna! And those who surrender to him, who are completely dedicated to him, who are completely dependent upon him, who have great faith in him, who always abide in him, who meditate on him with unalloyed devotional service, then he reciprocates with them by becoming also intimately related with them according to their desire in this way. He establishes the principles of religion because those principles are dharman, hishakshat, bhagavat pranitam. Those principles of religion are what God demands. Those who are religious are the people who are willing to surrender to God, who are theistic, who are willing to obey the rules of God. And so he appears like that. So we can't say that he is really Yadava. In one sense, of course, he is Yadava. He's the great descendant of the Yadu dynasty, Yadu Vira, Yadu Nandana. But at this, in another sense, he's the Lord of everyone. He's everywhere. He's in everything. So Kunti is saying like this, that just like sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills, so the name of Malaya and sandalwood are interconnected. Malayan sandalwood. You always hear about sandalwood and Malaya. So in the same way, Krishna is Yadava. He's Arjuna's friend, Parthasarathi, chariot driver. He's related to his devotees. We know him in his relation to his devotees in this way, even though he's really unborn. Just like the sun is not the sun of the eastern horizon, it's just the sun. But because it always appears on the eastern horizon, the morning sun is the sun of the east. And similarly, Kunti Devi is making this point that Krishna does not belong to any family, but yet he belongs to the family of Yadu because of his relationship, that King Yadu is one of his dear devotees. Of course, Queen Kunti is a family member. She is the mother of the Pandavas. And so she's in her ecstasy. She's appreciating Krishna's special relationship with her family and with her sons. And yet she's recognizing, because anyone who's a devotee, automatically knowledge comes, right? Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Jayara Haitukam. And so Queen Kunti is full of transcendental knowledge. And she's recognizing that how Krishna has this special intimate relationship with her family, and yet Krishna is supremely independent and equally disposed to all. This is the mystery. How can anyone, and we've discussed it in the last verse in the pastime of Damodar. Yes. Yadu dynasty? No, I don't think so.
He's
Kuru dynasty.
So is Yudhishthira being referred to as the king of Yadu here? Or?
No. I guess, what is the, in the ninth chapter there's a whole family descendant, but Yudhishthira is referred to in the purport here. Which category Krishna falls under?
Yudhishthira.
Well, he's certainly a pious king. So, no, Yadu dynasty. There's. I don't really know the genealogical table very well. Maybe someone else can, because there are Vrishnis and Bhojas, and Kunti is in the Bhoja dynasty, right? And. And she's married to Vasudeva. Pandu is Vrishni dynasty, which is also Vasudeva's dynasty. And King Yadu is described in ninth canto, I think, in Srimad Bhagavatam. And so Krishna is in the Yadu dynasty, and Pandavas are in the Kuru dynasty. But all the genealogical there's actually in the ninth canto they've published a whole table to see the Kshatriyas going way back. So, but they're related by marriage. Kunti is related by marriage. Hare Krishna. So, but the point I was making was that Krishna has a special relationship with her family, not just by marriage, not just by kinship, but also a special affectionate relationship with her family. And at the same time, she recognizes through her transcendental knowledge, she's explaining that Krishna doesn't have any particular relationship with any particular family because he's God of everything. Sometimes the chauvinistic principle becomes prominent in religion and people think, God is only God of our group or our religion or our tradition, and people fight. They feel that we're on the side of God, and they fight. And the demons are fighting the demigods, and so many wars are going on, and enmity is going on the basis of bodily association. But Krishna is God, so nobody can have him. In one sense, nobody can have him. Nobody can claim him as their own. But in another sense, Krishna is really claimed by pure devotional service. And only pure devotional service can bring Krishna under control. Only by pure devotional service can one really completely own Krishna, in that sense that Krishna owns the devotee, and the devotee also, the pure devotee, like Srimati Radharani, can actually own Krishna and control Krishna. And this is a great mystery. How can this be so, that Krishna is partial to his devotees? How can he become the chariot driver of Arjuna? How can he become controlled by pure devotional service? we have so many processes of spiritual realization, self-realization, spiritual improvement. There's giving charity, performing sacrifice, and performing austerities, and studying the Vedas, and worshipping according to the rules of worship, different demigods and so forth. There are so many different processes, but none of these processes can really deliver Krishna to us. And Krishna says that he can't be seen. Naham vedaya na tapasa na dani na chejaya shakya evang vidho drashtun drishtavana simangyata. He can't be seen by these things, but bhakta tvananyaya shakya aham evang vidho arjuna gyatung drashtung chitatvena praveshtung chaparantapa. By unalloyed bhakti, then he can be in his pure, beautiful form as Krishna, can be seen. Of course, when he comes, when he descends on earth, then everyone can see him. This is a special blessing to everyone who's there at that time. Although they can't really appreciate him, except for the devotees. Normally, the devotees, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena shantaksha daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shyama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindamari purushanta maham bhajami. They can always see that beautiful form of Shyama Sundar in their heart, with their mind's eye, because their eye is anointed with the salve of love. So with spiritual vision, with spiritual eyes, they always behold Krishna in their hearts because of their pure devotional service, their pure love. So he appears to be born. The great devotees like Mother Yashoda, they forget about how Krishna is God. Mother Yashoda can have Krishna sitting on her lap, drinking milk from her breast, and put him down to go get the, keep the milk from boiling over on the stove. So this is her exalted character that can hardly be imagined. And Kunti Devi in the last verse is glorifying Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda's devotion is something superior, super excellent. And she doesn't want to remember. She her love overwhelms her memory of Krishna's being God. And when she sees the universal form within his mouth, she just closes his mouth and immediately forgets again. Don't eat dirt. I told you not to eat the dirt. But Kunti Devi is here explaining for us, because we need to have understanding. We need to develop knowledge of Krishna. We can't jump ahead to try to become devotees like Mother Yashoda. We can glorify and understand the glories of Mother Yashoda, but we need to understand, oh, who is Krishna? There really is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Absolute Truth, and what is it? What is the characteristics of that Absolute Truth? How can we explain the personal aspect of the Absolute Truth, which is bewildering? It can't be understood even by great scholars unless they get the benediction of this grace of Krishna's mercy, that they get a little bit of bhakti. It has to be tinged with bhakti or it will never be understood. But it can be understood. By those who have bhakti, they can directly perceive and understand these things. Pratyaksha vagamang dharmyang susukam kartam avyayam. It's very confidential. This devotional service to Krishna is very confidential. How it is that Krishna comes and accepts the offerings of his devotees, even though he's God. And he's fully impartial to everyone. So that's a great mystery. How he becomes the friend of Yudhishthir, the descendant of Yadu, the beloved of the gopis, Gopi Janavallabha, the king of Vrindavan, Vrindavanendra, Agadamana, Nandasuno, Pranata Karuna, Gopi Janavallabha, Gopi Chandra, Vrindavanendra. So, Kamala Nayana, the lotus eyed. So, this is Krishna. And he's known by his names. He's known by his relations, his pastimes, and his relationships with devotees, even though he's everything that is. And that's what Queen Kunti is, how Queen Kunti is glorifying him in this verse. So, questions and comments. We have 15 minutes. So we'll have some Giriraj discussion also. We'll have time, because we're going to have, I think the... Yes.
We
can explain that to those who are ready to hear, that actually the form of Krishna, and we can explain to them how it is that the form of Krishna himself with two arms, with the flute, that form of Krishna is most complete, most beautiful, most intimate, most full of this special intimate mood. We can explain that, but we don't go and argue, you know, no, not Jesus, it's Krishna. You know, that's not our mood. That may be the mood we encounter Christians, for example, when we're out preaching, who want to say, oh, you know, you must be deluded by some false prophet, you know, because you're not teaching exactly the way we're teaching. But that's not our mood. When we encounter them, we say, no, that's all right. You know, we say that love of God is the highest thing. That's our tradition. And you're also, your teacher, Jesus, is also saying that. So we appreciate and we respect that. So we're not chauvinistic in that sense. If someone is... and certainly the forms of Krishna, all the different avatars, you know, Nrisimhadeva and Vamana, we also respect, oh, that is Krishna, Lord Rama, that is Krishna. We don't go around saying, no, don't worship Rama, we worship Krishna, you know, or something like that. We're not. We appreciate that really is Krishna. And even these other prophet, you know, Jesus may be some empowered representative of Krishna. Clearly, he's had great influence in the world. People are practicing, they believe in God, and they practice some mood of devotion to God. It's very, you can see the Vaishnava quality of their, even though they're generally meat eaters and they have these other faults. But we can appreciate that. We're not chauvinistic like that. But for those who are ready to really understand Krishna's pastimes and to compare, those who are very sophisticated and already free from material contamination and able to compare the different qualities of Krishna's different pastimes and his relations with its different devotees, then the six Goswamis have given us this beautiful literature in which we can compare, in which, for example, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the devotional service of the perfect, excellent devotional service of Prahlad Maharaj and Hanuman and Lord Shiva and Arjuna are all compared, and then in that comparison, the pure devotional service of Srimati Radharani and the gopis of Vrindavan have some special quality that's very sophisticated literature to hear how Sanatana Goswami is describing the different qualities of these perfect pure devotees and being able to compare them with their, even though they have no fault he's comparing what can appear to be faults and what can appear to be higher qualities, and appreciate that Krishna is the mood of loving Krishna, particularly the mood of loving him as the gopis do. When Krishna was in Mathura, of course, all the Brijvasis were feeling completely devastated and separation. And then Krishna sent Uddhava to go there. And Uddhava was Krishna's cousin and looked just like Krishna and was very the dearest advisor of Krishna, the greatest, very wise, and very perfect cousin of Krishna. And Krishna sent him to take messages for the gopis, that he's still thinking about them, and that he actually comes, you know, they would think that they're dreaming, that he would come at night, and they would think that they're dreaming, but he told Uddhava to tell them, no, I'm really coming every day, actually. And to tell them that he would be coming back, that he's always thinking of them, and he's just has to stay away to kill some demons, but he'll come back very soon. He has to protect them. So when Uddhava saw the gopis, how they loved Krishna, how even though they were devastated by his absence, that they were feeling that if that made Krishna happy, then they would have to accept that. When he saw that how they were devastated, how the symptoms of love in their bodies, how it would manifest in turning pale, in trembling, in hair standing on end, and crying, and to see how they would, even in madness, start talking to themselves and rebuking Krishna and changing their moods. When he saw that, then he understood that these are the, you know, he was wise enough and intelligent enough to understand this is the highest degree of spiritual perfection. This is the highest degree of love for the personality of Godhead. So he could appreciate that very deeply. But not everybody. When we're out preaching and we meet and encounter some person for the first time, we have to direct our preaching to what their capacity is. So we can explain to them that this name of Krishna, if you chant this name of Krishna, it's none different from Krishna. It will purify everything. These books are very pure. We tell people, you know, Vaishya always tells people that will bring good fortune to your home if you take this book. So you give them on the level that they can understand. But we're not out chauvinistically saying you have to be a devotee of Krishna. You have to do everything. You have to join our movement. If not, you're a bad person. You're not, or that you. You have no access to God. We don't say that. God is so vast, right? God is so vast, and he appears in every species of life even to reclaim the fallen souls. So you're right. It's interesting that, you know, when Prabhupada would go and preach, he would meet people all the time. That we would bring him people. The devotees would try. Prabhupada liked to speak to leaders, social, cultural leaders, political leaders. And the devotees would try to bring whoever they could get to come visit him, some bishop or some mayor or some, you know, head of some government agency or something to come to speak to Prabhupada. But frequently when he would talk to them, he would try to convince them that what we're doing in the Hare Krishna movement is the best thing, and they should support that. But at the same time, we're not chauvinistic, that we can appreciate how God is working throughout the world, and that other people have some God in their life in some way, even if they don't chant Hare Krishna. But then they should chant Hare Krishna. But why not chant Hare Krishna? Please chant. We have to encourage. Preaching means, you know, finding that spark in someone, that spark of appreciation, and encouraging that. But it's not a chauvinistic kind of, you know, we're superior, we're going to dominate. It's not a club that we belong to, that of bodily, and the Prabhupada showed that by preaching among non-Indians, among non-Hindus, among Americans and everything. We're not qualified by our family our background, we have no samskara, we don't even have good habits, you know, we don't have good quality. But still, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it purifies all people. Yes?
Yeah, ultimately, it would have to be people's voluntary decision to come to the movement. You cannot forcibly bring them. Otherwise, we are no different from Christians who are going out there converting people. You have to pretty much leave it to them by giving all this knowledge and all. It's finally their decision. We'll also be consistent with what Krishna tells Arjuna in the 18th chapter, that now I have given you all this knowledge. It's up to you. He's not forcing the surrender. The surrender has to be voluntary.
Jai. Anything else?
I have one question.
Yes.
It's a general question. People who were born in Sanatana Dharma,
people who were born in Islamic, the Muslim families, so they do all sinful activities, like meditating and other activities. And also they get married to more than one lady. So because they don't follow their religious principles, so would they get liberated?
They must be getting some benefit.
Because since I was born in Hindu family, from my childhood I got attracted towards Balaji and Krishna, so that I was familiar with all those things. If I was born in a Muslim family, then I would have behaved differently.
Well,
it was not in our hands, so which family or what ones. People were born in a Muslim family, so they won't follow and they won't understand Krishna consciousness. And they won't understand Hinduism also. They have to read Bhagavad Gita, they have to get liberated, they will get escalated to Goloka. So they do their own principles, so they do follow those principles. So they get liberated.
There is some benefit that they're accepting that God, you know, there are rules that God has laid down. And that though they may marry more than one wife, they're not supposed to marry more than four. They'll never drink wine. They'll give 20% of their income in charity. And that, you know, so they have different rules that they're accepting are coming down from God. And so in this way, this is beneficial. Now, on the other hand, they think it's very pious to sacrifice animals and kill these animals. They're eating cows, so they're killing cows. So this is very sinful activity to kill cows and eat cows. But there is some benefit to the fact that at least they believe in God, they accept God, they try to follow the rules of God, they're trying to surrender to God according to the scriptures of the Mlechas, you know, and that's... So in any community, like Islamic community, you will find there are pious people, there are even saintly people, and less pious people. The Namacharya Haridas Thakur, he also was born in a Muslim family, but yet he was the greatest acharya of the holy name. Of course, he was not a meat eater. he was very humble. I'm sure. I don't know though. If he was born in a Muslim family as a child, he may have been a meat eater. You know, I don't know that. I don't know that history. But our own family. You know, I was born in a family of meat eaters, and until I was 13 or 14, I was eating every day, eating beef and so forth. But he was, remained very humble, even, that by social convention, he was not supposed to go into the temple of Jagannath, so he wouldn't go in. And he would, when the devotees were taking prasadam, he would stay outside, you know, to out of respect. Of course, he's the greatest saint, but he was thinking, oh, these brahmanas, they can't be contaminated by eating with me or something like that. But Lord Chaitanya didn't accept such social conventions, and he would go personally, even though he's God, he would go personally and serve Haridas Thakur. And he took Haridas's body when Haridas passed away, and he took in his arms in that way and perform the ceremony to inter the body there in Jagannath Puri on the beach. We can go there to that spot. Different religions of the world, they do have differences with us. And of course, there used to be provision in the Vedas. There are provisions for performing sacrifices, but they have to be of animals. But they have to be done very specifically by very qualified Brahmins in such a way that the animals are benefited and not harmed. And because that cannot be done in Kali Yuga, that is now forbidden. But there are different religions that they have different principles from us, and they do things that we think are wrong. It's a matter of how and when to raise these issues with them, to talk to them. There's a certain extent in which, you know, when you talk to them, you can say, well, I respect you, you respect me, we have some differences, we agree, you know, we believe in reincarnation, you don't, but at the same time we have some similarities, we both believe in God and that to follow God is the highest. Of course, in Islam there are so many different traditions also. I saw there's a movie, a Bangladesh movie called The Painted Bird, and they have a lot of beautiful Bengali Islamic singing. You know, it's Islamic tradition, but it's Bengali. They're Sufis, you know, and they have this one that's a kind of a dialogue, and you know, they're like people go and perform these dramas outside under trees and stuff, and everybody watches. And there's a dialogue where taking the position of Sharia, you know, mullah, the woman is criticizing the Sufi, and her refrain, the chorus that she sings, is she makes different criticisms and then he refutes them. And her thing is, if you want to go to heaven, then you must keep fear of Allah in your heart. And then the man rejoins that if you want to be close to Allah, you must keep love in your heart. So, anyway, in every culture, in every tradition of the world, God is revealing himself. Krishna is revealing himself in different ways to different people. But according to how much the modes of material nature are contaminating us and influencing us, we're only able to understand some small part of it. But we shouldn't think that Krishna belongs only to us. After all, he's creating the whole universe, and he's accessible to everyone. But we know that Krishna really belongs to his pure devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, their devotion is so pure. And they're always in the liberated condition, and that their devotion is so pure that it controls even Krishna, which is amazing to think that he's creating universes, not just countries, not just big buildings, not just whole countries, not just whole planets, but even whole gigantic universes. It's inconceivable to us, and yet that Krishna is being controlled by the pure devotional service of the great devotees. It's hard to conceive. So we'll stop now and have Guru Puja, and then we'll have some reading about Giriraj and lifting of Govardhan Hill, and then we'll all go on book distribution. And we'll have they're making a little Lanakuta, and then. And then we'll go on book distribution, distribute lots of books today, and please Vaishyaseka and Prabhupada. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Queen Kunti ki jai, Giriraj ki jai.